Before I get started, I just wanted to, everybody here, if we can, just say a brief prayer for all the folks over there in Florida, because they're going through a really, really rough time. So anyway, if you'll just kind of bow your heads. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, dear Lord. Although we don't understand why these things happen and why sometimes these catastrophes can just seem so bad, we know that all this, O Lord, is part of your plan and that you are in charge of everything. But we ask, dear Lord, that just that your mercy and your grace and your help and your strength and everything would be with those over in Florida who are suffering. And we just pray, dear Lord, that through all of this, when all of it has gone and it has calmed down, that through your plan and through your work, that good things will still come from this, even though we may not see it, but you're working all things for good. We just ask for your blessing and your help on those people. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. All righty. All right, good morning. I'm not sure when I'll get to address y'all again, so one I worked on this morning is about 2.5 hours long, so bear with me. Just kidding. Let me get my stuff together here. Okay. This morning, we want to talk about something that I think is probably one of the most essential things in being a Christian, to be in Christ. And that's basically to surrender to Christ. We want to surrender ourselves totally. And I'm going to start out with another little analogy here. So then, you know, in the movie Heartbreak Ridge with Clint Eastwood, you know, he's a Marine drill sergeant and he has his recruits out there and he tells his recruits, "We're the United States Marines. Surrender is not in our creed." You know, thank God for the Marines, right? But in Christianity, surrender is our creed. So we do not surrender to the world, and we do not surrender to sin or to evil or to Satan or to our own selfish desires. We surrender our lives to Christ. And this may well be, if not the hardest things we have to do as Christians. It means surrendering our will for ourselves and surrendering to the will of God. Our salvation in Christ is free to all. All we need to do is ask and believe. We ask Jesus into our heart, and then through faith and the grace of God, we are saved. This is our first step in surrendering, but that's the easy one. As the Holy Spirit gives us the strength to surrender our will, but it is a choice that we need to make all on our own. So now I'm going to read something here. It's a passage from Oswald Chambers, and you know I've quoted him before. But if you read anything from Oswald Chambers or any of his stuff, he pretty much bases all his writings and all of his preaching and everything that surrendering to Christ is the essential thing to truly becoming one with Christ. It is the most important thing. So Oswald says, true surrender is not simply surrender to our external life, but it's surrender to our will. And once that's done, surrender is complete. The greatest crisis we'll ever face is the surrender of our will. Yet God never forces a person to surrender, and he never begs. He patiently waits until that person willingly yields to him. And once that battle has been fought, it need never be fought again. Once you've surrendered, you will know that you have surrendered. So we wonder, well, what did Jesus have to say about surrender? He said, well, he had much to say about it. But one of the very simplest things that he basically says is, I always do the will of my Father. So should we not do the same for him? Should we not be willing to do the will of our Savior? So in Mark 8, 34 through 35, Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever will lose his life for me and for the gospel will save it." He says in Luke 9:23, "If anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." Now, I did a lot of research on the first one, on Mark 8:34 through 35. And the part where it says, whoever wants to save his life must lose it, and whoever will lose his life for me will save it. And after having basically looked that up, it pretty much comes to this, and this is my interpretation of what I read out of this, so don't take this as gospel, but getting all the different opinions from different people, it pretty much came to this, is basically whoever would save his life. In other words, if you were to deny Christ, or you would prefer to your worldly ways and your wealth and all the things that you have, you would just let Jesus go or deny them for that, you're pretty much in trouble. You're pretty much doomed. But whoever would lose his life for me would save it. And that's basically to lose yourself, to deny yourself, your personality, all that you are in the past, all the world has taught you to do. You surrender that. It also means that you may well be have to die for Christ if you're willing to do so. So that's what I got out of this part. It's kind of complicated. Read it for yourself, research it for yourself, and see how it touches you. Now it says to deny himself. Well, that one's relatively easy. That means we just have to deny our selfish wants. We have to deny the things that we want instead of what Jesus wants for us. What the Lord has given us, all that we have is ours. I mean, it's his. He's given us. We need, though, to turn it over to him and just deny ourselves. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. So, the other part is, what does taking up our cross really mean? So I did research on this one too, so I wouldn't make anyone stumble. It says, but I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean an illness that you struggle with. It doesn't mean a thankless job or a strained relationship or a bad marriage, are just the everyday drudgery of thankless tasks. And, you know, people always use this term, and they're always saying, well, you know, that's just my cross to bear. Well, that's wrong. That is not what it means at all. But what it does mean is being willing to, in order to follow Christ, being willing to die in order to follow Christ. And this is called dying to self. It's a call to absolute surrender. We must deny our old selves. We must give up in our hearts all the worldly desires that we know that conflict with what Jesus would want us to do and how he would want us to live. Jesus carried his cross and died for us. All he asks is that we're willing to die for him. Now, here are some examples, though, of people who have truly died to self and true, absolute surrender to God. And the first one is Abraham, all the way back in Genesis. Hebrews tells us in 11:17-19, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises that were about that he had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.' Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead." Now that is surrender. He waited to be 100 years old to have a child. And then the Lord asked him, okay, go sacrifice him to me. And he surrendered and did it, but trusting that God had a plan for it, that he could do whatever. He'll bring him back from the dead because he told me that there's a reason Isaac was there. Then we have the Apostle Paul. I don't think anybody surrendered himself hardly any more than this guy. But anyway, he said in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Oh, sorry. Bear with me here. Philippians 3, 7. Paul says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I want to draw near to Jesus and be willing to give. You have to draw near to Jesus, be willing to give yourself up. And then there was Jesus himself. He says in John 5:30, by myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Again, I do the will of my Father. I do whatever I do to please him. Then in Luke 22:42, basically on the Mount of Olives, the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if you are willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Again, will. Everything is about our Father's will and our surrender of our will. You know, we carry a lot of baggage with us. Everybody knows it. I've got it. I've got a lot of it. But that hinders our Christian walk. And, you know, we need to get rid of it. And I'll give you a little example here. If we'll go to Matthew 19:16. And y'all ever read the parable of the rich young man? Over there, it's basically the rich young man. He comes to Jesus and he says, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Jesus says, why do you ask me what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which ones, the man inquired, and Jesus replied, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother, love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, all these things I kept, the young man said, what do I still lack? And Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. And Jesus told his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. That's a tough one to swallow, isn't it? Like, wow, I got to give up everything? Everything? That's the only way? No. But again, don't take this as gospel or biblical, but it's just something. This made me, every time I've read this, I've thought about this. And this is just what's nice about the Bible. It makes you think. If you read it, it kind of makes you think. But I have thought, and even though we know Jesus, I'm sure, already knew the reply of the rich young man. He knew what he was going to say. But how would the parable have changed if he had looked at Jesus and said, yes, Lord, I will do this. I will go now and sell all I have, and I'll come back and follow you. I've often wondered, would Jesus have said, no, don't. Now that you are willing to give up all that you have and follow me, I know you're true. Go now, spread the kingdom, talk about the kingdom of heaven, preach the kingdom of heaven, and take your wealth and use it for good. And actually, if you dig deeper, this is basically what the Lord, He gives us riches. He gives us wealth. He gives us home. He gives us things. He gives us shelter. He doesn't want to take them away from us, but He does want you to surrender them to Him. That's a man with a lot of baggage, and he wasn't willing to give it up, but we need to. So guess what? Again, you're saying to me, you're thinking, yeah, I have to go and sell everything that I have worked for all my life in order to be surrendered to Jesus? No, that's not what it is. Not at all. But we have to be willing to let go. Don't hold so tight to your worldly things. Don't hold them in your hand. The things we cherish in this world cannot be more important than our relationship with Jesus. In other words, if you're willing to put your relationship with Jesus off to the side so that you can gather more things, not the right direction to head. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, and again, you can read this and see how it touches you for yourself, but it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that although He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, so that you, through His poverty, might become rich." Jesus came, had all the riches and the glory of heaven. He came down here, became poor, and walked among us as an average man, so that we, if we surrender to Him, we can have the riches of heaven. He offers them to us free if we're willing to give up our hold on all these things. But we hold so tightly to our possessions and our selfish wants. They can destroy us if we're not careful. They can consume us and take us over, and they can hurt our testimony. Let me give you a little example, and I know probably a lot of you have heard this one before, but over in some of the tropical countries, Africa, different places, South America, they have a unique way to trap monkeys. And basically, they have a pot, a jar, and they mold it up like that. They take this, they secure it to a tree or a stump or something, and they fill it with berries and they fill it with nuts, whatever the monkeys in the area happen to really like. And they make the opening just wide enough that the monkey can put his hand like this and get it down into that jar. He gets it down there and he grabs those berries or those nuts. And he pulls up here. He can't get his arm out of there. He can't get it out of there. But his greed is so strong that he will not let go of it. Even when the trappers come after him, they come to collect him, he'll stand right there. He will never let go of them, and he's trapped. His greed was his doom. And that can be our doom too. It may not that you have things or not that you've collected things in your life, but that you put them ahead of everything else. You know, Jesus stands before us with His arms wide open. He's standing right there. He offers us the treasures of heaven, but we can't accept them because our hands are so full of the little trash and the trinkets and the things that we have that we just won't let go. We're just sitting here holding on to it going, I'd love to have those things, but I just can't let go of these. I love them so much. But we have to surrender. We have to submit. But you know, it's not just material things that we need to surrender. It can be anger issues, jealousy, greed, bad habits that hurt us, things that hurt others. Anything that hinders our relationship with Jesus, we must surrender to Him. Surrender your desires. the things that you know in your heart are not wrong. Now, we all have desires, and many of them are good. We have good desires, but we also have some evil ones too, no matter what you think, and no matter how hard we try. We have desires that are greed, and if I could just get my hands on that. We can't let that happen. So what are some of the rewards, though, of this total surrender? I mean, what do you get out of it? You know, what's it all worth? Well, if you go to Galatians 5:22 over there, basically, when we've done this and we've surrendered, we give our worries, our cares, our things of the world to the Lord, let Him take care of them for us instead of us, here's what we'll receive. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. That last one, self-control, ooh, if we can all master that one and we can totally get that one in our lives, what a blessing that would be. But have you ever wondered why there are so many Christians out there that you meet that seem so sad, or they seem so stressed out? It's not because they don't have enough faith or that they are suffering daily for Jesus. And then you meet Christians who are happy, at peace, calm, even if they have a world full of problems. And the difference is, one has surrendered totally, and the other is still clinging to the world. They just keep clinging on and clinging on to the world, and they won't give up these things. I'm going to read another one here from Oswald Chambers, because it's pretty much as tells us. This is one of the things that total surrender will bring you. And he says here, once your rights to yourself are surrendered to God, your true personal nature begins responding to God immediately. Jesus Christ brings freedom to your total person, and even your individuality is transformed. The transformation is brought by love, by personal devotion to Jesus. Love is the overflowing result of one person in a true fellowship with another. When we have surrendered ourselves totally, the love of Jesus truly comes in us. We pray for it. We ask for it. The perfect love of Jesus drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And we need fear punishment no more because of that. But to receive this, we truly need to just give ourselves up. You know, unfortunately, so many times in people's lives, they refuse to give themselves up to the Lord until they have reached the very bottom of the pit. And then all of a sudden, I'm willing to give it all to you, Lord, if you'll pull me out of this. There's your total surrender. But we should be able to do it without having to sink that low. G.K. Chesterton was an English theologian, and he made a statement here, because your total surrender is difficult. It is hard for us to give these things up. I know. I've tried a lot of things that I still cling to, and I realize, and I pray about them, and I say, Lord, let me let them go. Help me. Help me give them to you. But he made a little statement here. It says that the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting, but it has been found difficult and left untried. That's why so many people, they seek it. They seek Christianity. They want it. But ooh, that other part, it's so hard. I just don't want to try it. As a result, they just are sad. You know, because many Christians seek the salvation of Jesus, but they refuse to give up their worldly ways. They have no strength in the Lord, and some eventually just fall away. They just slip away. They have no foundation, and they become basically weak and ineffective Christians. And unfortunately, we have a lot of those folks in this country. They claim to be Christians, but they have no strength, and they are ineffective, and they are weak. But surrender is not a sign of weakness. Surrender is a sign of strength. When you surrender to Jesus, you receive all the strength that He has and all the power that He has. It all becomes yours when you are willing to give it up. Paul tells us that I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. It's a well-quoted one, and I'm sure we've all heard it and we've all said it. But He does. But we won't receive that strength until we're willing to no longer rely on our strength, but to rely on His. Because as long as we're relying on our own strength, we're hindering the work that He can do. And remember, 2 Corinthians 12:9 tells Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." You know, that is so true. It is so true. So if you want the strength and the power of Jesus in your life, you need to surrender to Him. I'm just going to come down here and I want to read a couple of things to y'all. And then we will pray. When we've surrendered and we have given ourselves up, one of the things that it takes from us is that, just that, again, the fear, the anxiety, the anxiousness, the what's going to happen to me. We won't worry about that. The Lord, it's all in His hands. We've given it to Him, and He's there to take care of us. Of course, this is one that I'm sure everybody has read and heard a lot, but here it is. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And when we've done that, what do we get? We get the ability to think about whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Anything that is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you've learned or received and heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. That's Paul speaking. And the God of peace will be with you. Now, you ask, is there a simpler way, an easier way? What is it? How do I do this? Well, Jesus tells us right here. Very simple. If you go to Matthew 11:28, He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So, take on Jesus' yoke. Throw off our chains and the big piles of stuff that we have in our lives that we drag around with us. Remember the Christmas carol with Morley carrying his chains and his boxes and all that? Well, believe me, this Charles Dickens read the Bible, so he knows that that's what we carry with us. But take on Jesus' yoke, for what does He tell us? It is easy, and His burden, the things that He asks us, are very light. Did you know also that Matthew 11:28 right here, this is the only scripture where Jesus actually tells you his true nature. He tells you and others many times that he's the Lord, the Son of the Lord, he and God are one. But he tells us here, what is his true nature? I am gentle and humble of heart. If you want to surrender to someone, would you not want to surrender to someone who is gentle and humble of heart? Not all our problems, because in this world we will have troubles, Jesus said, but he has overcome the world. You want to overcome a lot of the stuff, shed it. Shed the stuff. Don't cling to it. Don't worry so much about whether or not you're going to keep it, because he said, all those things I will provide for you. So it's a simple solution, but it's hard to do because of our fallen state and our weaknesses. But when we master this, we can master the world. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name. We ask, O Lord, that you just help us truly. Just submit our wills, our selfishness, all the sin that so easily entangles us. Help us to just drop it at your feet, at the feet of the cross. Help us, Lord, free ourselves from the chains that bind us from this world. Help, Lord, that by your strength and by your power, that we can turn all these things over to you, and that our burdens will be less, and that we will carry your yoke, which is light, and that, O Lord, we can enjoy the full life and the peace that you truly offer by simply just doing like you did and following the will of our Father. We thank you, Lord, for this gift and that all that we receive from you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.